Well, welcome back to this episode of the Advent Devotional Journal. That's perfect timing. Whether you've been with us since the beginning or you're just now finding it, getting started, I'm glad that you're here. And be sure to stay till the very end, just a few minutes, and I'm going to give you an exciting announcement about what's coming next with Dwelling Richly. And if you don't already have the journal, you can get that on my website. I'll put the link right down here in the show notes so you can get connected with that. And wherever you are in this holiday season, if you're just now discovering this or you've been with us all along, again, I'm really thankful and glad that you were here. You know, this time of year, as we all know and we always hear, is so busy and we have all the things that we do. But this journal is designed to give you a moment to pause. You know, there's something that's just really special about this particular week as we get even that much closer to Christmas and the days that lead up to it. Maybe there's more gatherings. Maybe you're really in the middle of all the busyness of getting the gifts and things ready. Maybe you have a Christmas Eve service that you're going to be attending or maybe even participating in. And everything is just building toward this moment, the anticipation, the energy, the lists, the wrapping, the double checking. Do I have enough butter for the occasion? Do I have my scissors and my scotch tape and all those things ready to go? And while I love it, and I do, I also know we all need a time to pause and make sure that we are not losing sight of what's most important during this time. And that is, as always, to be grounded in God's word, to remember what all of this is really actually about. So this part of our journal coming up, the one that you're going to be doing this coming week, is about fulfillment, that deep, long awaiting knowledge that God keeps his promise, that aspect of the depth of the beauty of fulfillment. And the scriptures that you are going to be spending so much time in this week are just so rich and full of reminders of what that fulfillment actually looks like. They don't just tell us that Jesus came. I mean, obviously we all know that he did, but they help us to understand how he came, why he came, and what that looks like for them back then and what it looks like for us today. And so I really do think that understanding the truth about fulfillment really will serve to deepen our joy as we move into this ending season, these ending days as we build toward Christmas, and that the beauty of the celebrations, the calmness that we're going to experience, and hopefully the delight and the joy as well. Understanding the truth of fulfillment all adds to that. It gives weight and it gives wonder to the lights that we see, the decorations that go up, the songs, the carols, that all the visitations, everything that we have and we love so much. So we have five passages we're going to look at this week. And the first passage takes us back to the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5. And it starts in a very little town of Bethlehem, as the song reminds us as well. And I always just love kind of lingering here and thinking about that tiny little town of Bethlehem, really because it was nothing special. It was not a big city in by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't impressive. It wasn't powerful. It wasn't the place that anyone would have expected something world-changing to come from. And Micah even says it was even too little to be considered as part of the clans of the big tribe of Judah. Then he uses this phrase. He says, from of old, from the ancient days. And that Hebrew word there is kedem. And it carries the sense of something that reaches back, far back, before memory, before history as we know it, that this ruler coming from Bethlehem is a reminder that he is not God's backup plan at all. His coming stretches all the way back into eternity. And I think that's what matters here, understanding that. Fulfillment here doesn't come from human strength. It doesn't come from human significance, some big grand city that he could have been from. It comes from understanding God's eternal purpose that was unfolding in quiet places, in unexpected people. And there's something just so deeply comforting about all of that. It brings us into the relatability of the moment that it isn't, it's at the same time bigger than we could possibly have imagined, and yet small and simple enough for us to go, wow. So I hope you'll see that as you go into the study of that day in Micah. And then as we move forward, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, which is Zechariah's prophecy and praise. And I just love this passage so much. I hope that you'll pause and read slowly as you go into that Luke passage. Zechariah, as you might have remembered, has spent months in silence. He's just sitting with God, with what God has done, silencing him and the anticipation of what's going to be coming next. And when his voice finally returns, what comes isn't some kind of an explanation from him of why he's been silent all this time. It is an eruption of praise, the beautiful, natural thing that would come when he's been holding it all in a sense, all this time. And one word that keeps surfacing here in this passage in the Greek is elos, and it means mercy, and it holds the strength of a covenant of mercy, the kind of mercy that God has been showing his people throughout all of these generations. And so Zechariah sees the coming of Christ as God remembering his promises, not forgetting them, light breaking through darkness, providing mercy for all, right? Mercy continuing its long and faithful work. And you can almost hear the relief in his voice as you read through that. God hasn't changed his course. God has not forgotten. God has been faithful all along. And then the next day in this devotional journey, you're going to come to John chapter 1. And of course, this is one of those passages that really makes us realize the depth of theology. And it brings us way back, literally, to the beginning. John takes us all the way back there when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, N-R-K, Ein Alagas in Greek." And then he brings us right back into human present history with this stunning statement. "And that word became flesh and dwelt among us." The word "dwelt," of course, is very special to me in Bible study, the dwelling richly Bible study. It's the model of what we should do with God's word and letting it dwell in us. But it comes from also this idea, this word in Greek, ekenosen, which literally means pitched his tent or tabernacled. So this is God not staying distant. This is God who moves in. This isn't God shouting salvation from a distance, "Hey, I'm sending someone along your way to save you." This is God coming in, choosing nearness and presence and life right alongside of us. And honestly, I don't think we could ever really get to the bottom of that kind of mercy, that kind of presence, what it truly means that God became flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So fulfillment here isn't just a promise that was kept. It's literally God with us. And then the next passage we're going to read comes out of Galatians. In Galatians, Paul, the writer, helps us to understanding the timing of the fulfillment of all of this. And Paul says that it happened in the fullness of time. That Greek word there is pleroma. And the idea of pleroma is that it's something that is totally being filled up to absolute completion perfectly. It can't be any more full than it is in the fullness of time. And what that perfect timing accomplished wasn't just redemption. It's the great reminder that I think of it this way. God could have done redemption and it would have been enough. It would have been amazing for us. But God didn't just redeem us, right? Paul goes now into, not only did God come and dwell with us, fulfillment of everything, his redemption brought us in, and now we have adoption, belonging. Because it would have been one thing for God to shout salvation from the hills and, "Oh, salvation is here." That wasn't enough. He dwelt with us, and it would have been one thing for him to dwell with us, but that wasn't enough for God either. He not only wants to dwell with us, he wants us to belong to him. And in that, we get a new identity, right? Because we are now part of God's family. We're not slaves anymore. We are now sons and daughters. And that truth settles the heart in a way that nothing else actually can when you truly meditate on that. And then our final passage is Matthew bringing us into Joseph's story. And Joseph doesn't receive an explanation fully of everything that's going on, but he does receive reassurance and he receives direction. He's asked to trust God with his reputation, his plans, his future. And the name that's given here is Emmanuel, God with us. Again, not God watching from afar, not God waiting for us to figure it out and then showing up. It is God with us right here in the middle of uncertainty. It's like Joseph himself is the reminder of all of the uncertainty that we all have at any given moment in our lives. Joseph is the reminder of that. Joseph is a reminder also of the obedience of what it looks like to truly be surrendered and follow God. Just obey. Joseph's quiet obedience becomes part of God's fulfillment in this entire story. And I think that's really encouraging. And it is for me. When you hold all of these passages together, this picture begins to form. Fulfillment unfolds through God's faithfulness, through his timing, through his nearness, and the obedience of just ordinary people like me, right? Joseph is the reminder of that. And here we are, wherever you are in this journey. We're just a few days right outside of Christmas, and we are probably surrounded by the beauty, the lights, and the celebrations, and all the things that we love. But honestly, maybe by exhaustion, and maybe by expectations that are not getting met, and maybe by the emotion that can be a bit of a roller coaster during this season as well. And maybe for some, a sense of blasé. Do you relate to that? You know, the lights are lit, everything's sparkling, and the gifts are wrapped, and the gatherings are planned and happening. But the emotion and the motion itself of these days leaves us feeling a little bit dull. And that's okay. I want to assure you of that. We were never meant to live a life that was fueled constantly by a zing of nonstop, high, delightful, joyful emotion in that sense, right? We were meant to be rooted and renewed and comforted and filled and strengthened by the reality of fulfillment. It's far deeper than a fleeting emotion. And that is far better than anything else that we can want, desire, need, anything, when we are rooted in that truth of what happened when Christ was the fulfillment of everything that God had promised. So understanding that, what it took like to bring us to that moment, I hope brings Christmas even more deeply to you, and you're released from the need of constantly feeling like you have to feel the zing and the excitement and all the emotions of things that happen around you. Sometimes it's enough, and I pray that it will be for you to just know how beautiful it is that God kept his promise and fulfilled everything. That truth is anchored in the promises that he always kept, the light that did break through into darkness, and the Savior who came near and stayed, right? And that you and I have access to even this day. And honestly, that makes me a more joyful, giddy even, when I actually stop and think about that. And I hope it does for you as well, because we get to celebrate something that is both deeply theological and deeply personal. God came. God kept his word. God is with us. So as you move into these last days before Christmas, I hope that these scriptures give you something solid to hold on to and something joyful to carry with you into your celebrations, not an emotion, but the truth and the reality into your celebrations. And so whether your days are full and loud and busy and fun, or if they are quiet and disappointing in any way, be rooted in something that's totally stable and who God is, and the blessing of knowing that he kept his word all along. And I pray that the joy that you find in knowing the truth about who God is the true lasting joy that you'll have throughout this season. Well, thank you for staying with me to the end, because I do have that really exciting announcement to make. You know, several weeks ago when I made the announcement that I was going to be retiring after 15 years plus of full-time ministry, I knew it was the right thing and the right time to do, but I also didn't know 100% with certainty what was out there. I just knew that God wanted me to keep studying his word and keep doing Bible study to some degree. Well, that vision has become more and more clear through some fasting and praying and partnering with people I love who have been very strong encouragers throughout this season. And as a result, we are now moving forward with Dwelling Richly as a nonprofit organization that's going to reach farther than just Bible studies or the blog or anything that you've seen. In fact, it's not just going to be Jennifer Richmond blog anymore. It's going to be dwellingrichly.org. And under the dwellingrichly.org organization is going to be the Bible studies, the podcast, but also more equipping, helping people know what it really looks like in their life to intentionally and enthusiastically let the word of Christ dwell in them and dwell back into the word themselves also, to learn what it looks like in practicality to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to do that by equipping people to really get into God's word. And so you're going to see some announcements in the days ahead after Christmas and before the New Year's about where Dwelling Richly is going, what we're up to. It's moving from a local, just me and my church friends and community around here, to something that's going to be reaching coast to coast. And we want you to be involved in it as well. My sisters and I are partnering together in all this to develop the nonprofit. And we would love your prayers. And we would love for you to get on the mailing list and be a part of where we're headed with all of this. There's going to be a few other announcements coming in the next few days. Stay tuned for all of that. But the best way to do that is to follow right here where you are listening so you can get the updates, and to make sure you go over to dwellingrichly.org and register, get on the mailing list and see what we're up to and all those good things. Okay, so that's my big announcement. This feels big to me. I hope it does to you as well, because I'm really excited. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to be doing in 2026 and just what it's going to look like to have Dwelling Richly continue to grow and to build on what our parents gave us as kids, studying God's word and loving it so much. So thank you for being part of that journey as well. We need your prayers and your support along the way. And I thank you ahead of time for all of that. All right. Thanks again for being with me on this episode of the Dwelling Richly podcast. And I look forward to being again here again with you real soon. Next Sunday, we'll have another episode. And for now, know as always that you are loved and you are prayed for by name, especially those of you who are on the mailing list, because we go through that mailing list and pray for you by name. You are loved and you are prayed for, and I look forward to being back here again with you real soon. Bye-bye for now.